guys, Felicia here. So before we start the show, I just want to ask you guys to help us make sure that we're creating content you really, really want to hear, and make sure we stay on topics that you need help with. And we want to make sure we're giving you practical tips, tricks, and tactics that you need for your career journey and to get where you're trying to go. And so we have a survey that we would like for you to do. It should only take about 5 minutes. There's going to be a link in the show notes for you to do our survey. If you are on our email list, you'll also get an email reminding you to please do this survey so that we make sure we're giving you the best content possible, and making sure that if we have any advertisers, that they are advertisers that are speaking to your specific needs, and that we promote things that are going to truly help you and not just be for some commercial gain, because that's not what we're about over here. We are here at the Trill MBA Show to help you really, truly skyrocket your career in all the ways that make you whole and happy and healthy and prosperous, because we about these bags, okay? All right, let's start the show. Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Happy Sunday. I'm so glad that you are listening to this episode. I feel like it's an important one for us to think about. And some things that we're going to talk about today really involves psychological safety. You're like, what? Felicia, why are you talking about psychological safety? So listen, as I'm on my journey looking for a new job, it came to me that I've been really searching for the right place, the fertile soil, the place where I can be planted and be groomed and, you know, learn and grow and contribute and be respected and all these things. And recently I was watching a town hall forum, and I asked the question because they were discussing the recent lawsuits that are in play by that man. I shall not say his name. We'll just call him Beelzebub. I think that's a good name for him. But him and his organization, they're the people behind the affirmative action Supreme Court decision. Now they're going after the Fearless Fund, which is a fund dedicated to help Black women entrepreneurs who only get like less than 1% of VC funding. But that's still too much, according to this Beelzebub man who is suing all of these people. They're also going after law firms that have programs to help build diversity in their organizations. It's just a lot, right? And so when I was listening to this today, it occurred to me, like, I've been searching for somewhere that I feel that I don't have to play so many mental acrobatic exercises to survive in the culture of that organization. And so as I'm trying to transition into a new industry, it hit me today, like, there's nowhere that's safe. And I felt very sad about that. And then I felt it, and I let myself feel that, understanding that there's probably not a company we can go work at that is safe for us, especially when you talk about larger organizations and the majority of the people in the organization are not Black. And I don't know why it's so unsafe for us. I don't know why we can't just have the same human experience. Go to work, do good work, be applauded for it, go home with your money and enjoy your family. I don't know why it can't be that simple or why it's not that simple, but I do know that there are some things that we can do, especially if you're looking for a new opportunity, that we can mitigate and get to a safer place for us. So it might not be safe completely, but there may be some workplaces that are safer than others. And so today I'm going to break down how to evaluate the relative safety of a company as you consider pursuing an opportunity or accepting an offer for employment. So that's what we're going to talk about today. How to find a safer workplace.
Sweet.
So first, we need to evaluate these organizations for red flags. So you have to recognize the red flags. So we're going to talk about what the red flags are. I think for us, one of the very first and quick and simple red flags is around, what do they say about diversity and inclusion? You know, it's funny, as I have been on LinkedIn looking at job recs just to get a feel for what companies might be needing, how can I tailor my skill set, you know, who should I be reaching out to? And I'm looking at these job recs, and every time there's this blurb about diversity, inclusion, and we don't discriminate, right? And it's like a standard legalized blurb. And I realized there's no real way to know if they mean that. Even if they put it at the top and up front in the job description, it doesn't mean that they all really mean that, or that they won't protect perpetrators in the organization that do not align with whatever they're saying their diversity statement is. And so one of the things is looking for, you know, are they just spouting generic things? Do they have a diversity report on their website? You can read, you know, what dollars have they committed to diversity? What are they reporting? Like, what's really happening? And so if you see it's just generic, it's the basics, it looks like they didn't have a chief diversity officer until George Floyd, God rest his soul. If you see that they just let go of their chief diversity officer because it's about that time. If you see they've let go of all their DEI, whatever people, and they don't have any, and you can Google all this, you can look it up online, especially if it's a publicly traded company. And if they care more about, you know, their profits and they're laying off people anyway, and this is who they choose to lay off first, then that's a red flag. Like, you should feel a pause. And I know sometimes strategically you may say, hey, I see it, but there's something that I need to get from this experience to further my career. I'm in my chessboard. Then make sure that you make that very clear to yourself, okay, up front, because that generic diversity statements, that's a real red flag. And the fact that they really don't care about diversity, or diversity is mostly initiatives around women, which is then mostly white women. If you go to their website and you don't see any people of color, that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. The other red flag is, you know, where are we? So if you look around on the website, you look around when you go to interview, if you go interview in person, or if you interview with a panel of people and there's no representation there, you know, you have to ask the question like, hey, what is your representation like? Are you working on your numbers? Now, I say all that and I think back to experience I had where I was told, well, this is why we hired you.
No thanks, I'm good.
You are the diversity. And then subsequently try to get rid of me. It's awesome. So the thing you need to think through is who's on the board, who's in the C-suite. Now, I will say, if you look at their board and their C-suite and it's nothing but white dudes, like maybe one woman and she's like the secretary or the HR person or the head of HR or whatever. But if it's nothing but a bunch of white men, and I've seen this, I've looked at some companies and it was, I mean, just white dudes. And maybe a couple different shades of tan for some of the white dudes, but it was whitey, white, white, white. It was just white dudes. And then the one white woman who was the chief human resources officer, like, I didn't even apply for that job because I already know what it was. Ain't no way. And again, unless the experience is something you need to move your chessboard along, then you really should take pause and probably not go work for that company because it's not going to be safe for you. I guarantee it. And then you also have to realize Google is your friend here, and start with Glassdoor. So when you're evaluating a company, go to Glassdoor and look at their reviews. Now, one thing you do have to keep in mind, most people who leave reviews on Glassdoor are doing so because they are mad. The company has wronged them and they want to let the world know. However, if you start seeing themes, like if you start seeing this company interviewed for one job and then they offered me a role that was lower in title and lower in pay, or, you know, I consistently worked to get a promotion and they kept telling me I was going to get a promotion and I never got promoted and I realized I'm not the only one, I left. You start seeing themes around senior leadership and how they're not leading and it's a lot of ambiguity. You know, there are themes you can start picking out. When people are saying the same things over and over again, that's where you can pinpoint and say, okay, this company does have this problem. And then you have to say, is this a problem I can handle if this role is the right role for me? And you really have to trust yourself and find that answer for you. This is where Google is also clutch. So once discrimination lawsuits are filed, you can Google them. So you Google the company lawsuit and see what comes up. And you can start seeing, like, if there's a bunch of discrimination lawsuits against the company, that also could indicate that this is not a safe space. Because sure, companies are going to get lawsuits, but if there's like 10, 12, you know, over and over again, different places in the company, but still same company, then that pinpoints a systemic issue that the company has. And so you have to really take that into consideration. The other thing you want to look at and ask about is the turnover rate. Is it a high turnover? Do you see a lot of Black people leaving there? So one thing I've noticed, I'm not going to call any company names because we're going to start pitching for sponsorships and I need money. So I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me, but there are a number of companies that are in the Fortune 500 and Black people are leaving in droves. Like they are just leaving. They can't retain them. They can't keep them. The Black people are fleeing. And so, you know, you got to pay attention to that. And you have to ask yourself why. And so this is where LinkedIn is great because then you can reach out to somebody and start asking some real questions of somebody who doesn't work there anymore. So, and sometimes it could just be one leader that's causing everybody to flee, or it really could be the culture, but you have to do your due diligence and you have to find out. And the most important thing is you have to trust your gut. So if you feel that internal voice in your head saying, nah, this ain't it. And that nah is getting loud, like, nah, and you start hearing the alarms go off in your head, run. It's that simple. Like, you can get another opportunity. You don't have to take that one. So be brave and find out the information so that you can protect yourself in the short run and the long run, because this is a battlefield and your goal is to not get yourself blown up, proverbially. So when we get back from the break, I am going to talk through some of the real questions that you need to ask as you're going on this journey of figuring out, is this a safer place for me, or do I need to look elsewhere? When we get back from the break. Hey there, travel enthusiasts. Are you tired of struggling to find hair and skincare products that cater to your unique needs while on the go? Look no further than BlackTravelBox.com. Black Travel Box is your one-stop shop for travel-sized natural hair and skincare products, specifically curated for Black travelers. No more settling for generic products that don't work for your hair type or skin tone. Whether you're jet-setting to a tropical island or embarking on a cross-country road trip, Black Travel Box has you covered with their convenient and TSA-approved travel kit. Plus, by supporting Black Travel Box, you're not just getting high-quality products, but you're also supporting a Black-owned business that is dedicated to promoting inclusivity in the travel industry. So, travel in confidence, style, and grace with Black Travel Box. Visit blacktravelbox.com now and get ready to slay your next trip. Don't let your beauty routine suffer while you explore the world. And hey guys, let me tell you, Black Travel Box products are amazing, especially that body butter. Listen, I got a promo code for you. Use the code JETSET, that's J-E-T-S-E-T, all caps, JETSET. And you can get a discount from Black Travel Box because of who? The Trillist NBA. Happy travels, beautiful people. Now, let's get back to the show. And we are back from the break. If you haven't gotten your Black Travel Box, I don't know what to tell you, people. Get your life, get your products so you can travel with ease and style and grace and a carry-on. All right. So now in the first segment, we talked about, you know, some of the red flags that you need to pay attention to. Okay. So you see the red flags or you don't see the red flags, but you recognize, like, I still need to do more due diligence. Great. You're right on track to finding a safer organization for you. Now, the next thing that you need to do is ask the recruiter some very pointed questions. And you can't have any fear when you do this. So one of the questions you need to ask the recruiter is, can you share with me your diversity retention rates? Like, do you have a sense? Are you guys retaining the talent of color that you're recruiting? Or is it a leaky bucket? And ask them to be honest. And then say, do you have a sense of why that may be? Because maybe it's one department, maybe it's a certain leader. You know, you're just trying to figure out what the facts are. Okay. And trust me, when you ask this question, if they go, or they scared, then that's because they know they got a problem. They just don't want you to know. But then their reaction will tell you a lot. Hopefully they will be honest with you and say, hey, we are working to do better. We are, you know, focusing our recruitment efforts. We're focusing our culture efforts. We're working on our engagement scores. I get it. It's a road. It's a long road. But you at least want to be somewhere where they're working on it, trying. Somebody's trying to fix it. But if they say, oh, no, this is just what it is. Or if they say something like, you know, it's just hard to find people of color that do blah, blah, blah. You already know they on some bullshit. No, y'all just lazy. Y'all don't want to. It's not a real desire to change. So again, ask the real questions. The other thing you should ask about is the employee handbook. You can always ask to see it. You can always ask what their policies are around discrimination and harassment. You know, you can ask questions about their reporting and read the handbook. You could ask to read the handbook, right? And then how do they update the handbook? Really try to understand what the handbook says. Some people might be like, Felicia, how you gonna ask the recruiter for the employee handbook and you're not an employee? Because the employee handbook is more than just their policies on discrimination. It tells you about sick pay and leave and how it works and all that information. You need to know all that too. So it didn't even have to be in the spirit of finding out their discrimination or harassment policies. It really could be like, hey, I just want to understand like what your company policies are, and your company policies are rooted in your culture. And so if I read the company policy, that gives me a sense of your company culture and I'm working to assess for fit. So if you can share the employee handbook with me, I would greatly appreciate it. Usually there is a PDF version that they can share with you. And if they're serious about you, they will.
Really?
I would say you probably don't have to ask this in the upfront part. It's after you realize like, okay, we're vibing. They're probably going to make me an offer. Or once they've made you an offer, you can ask the C&A employee handbook for real then. And they'll send it to you. And so you weigh your options. The other question you need to ask is, do you have employee resource groups? And if they say yes, then you got to ask more questions. Then you say something to the effect of, oh, well, can I meet with a member of the employee resource group or one of the officers of the employee resource group? I'd love to talk with them and get their experience. So the women you want to, and you're, if you're a Black woman, you want to ask for the women resource group and the Black resource group. You want to talk to both, because the women's group may be just that, and it might not be helpful for your Black ass. I'm just saying. And then the Black people might tell you the truth. But they should give you the good, bad, and the ugly. And you want to be able to evaluate that and to evaluate the level of safety that you may be afforded in the organization if you take the job. And then when you get to talk to the ERG people, you want to ask them, like, who is your executive sponsor? And does the executive sponsor have the level of influence that actually makes impact? Like, if this, I'm going to say man, because it's a man's world. But if this man says jump, does the organization say how high? Or does the organization say, did y'all hear something? Did somebody say something? So you really want to get a clear sense of their executive sponsor and who that person is. How many levels are they from the CEO? Is the CEO engaged in the ERGs? If the CEO isn't engaged in the ERGs, that might be a red flag. Just saying. Also, who are the previous presidents of the ERG? Because a lot of times that role is sold as, oh, this is a high visibility opportunity. You should do the Black shit at work because it can help propel your career. And I'm here to tell you, 90% of the time, that's BS. Because 90% of the time, ERGs are a check the box. They are not impactful. They are not helpful. And I'm specifically talking about the Black ERGs. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something about white women in corporate. Listen, the white women that run the women ERGs, they be gangster. They be on it. They be making moves. You hear me? So sometimes it just behooves us to go on over there and join in and, you know, eat hummus and pita with a smile and have a good time. And network with them because they got the juice. And you always want to be where the juice is, because the juice is what helps propel your career. So if you're going to participate in the ERGs, if they have ERGs, make sure you're participating in an ERG that can actually be helpful to your career and that you can actually contribute meaningfully without rubbing your manager wrong or being seen as a problem child and all these other things that can happen when you're trying to do the black shit at work. That's just real talk. Like, you know what frustrates me? I'm going off on a little ADHD tangent for just a hot second. Please indulge me. You know what frustrates me? What frustrates me is that somebody's probably going to listen to me say that and then try to claim that I'm some like crazy person and twisted person or whatever. But this is the reality. Like, this is a lot of people's reality, that you walk into these companies that don't have a lot of people of color, that don't have senior leaders of color, that have white women running the ERG, especially the woman's ERG, for their favor, and that they actively work to keep women of color at bay in the ERG. This is just the truth and the facts. Don't get mad at me. Don't shoot the messenger. So have a ball listening to my podcast to try to figure out what I'm saying and then twist it up. But this is just the truth. All right, off my tangent. Now, listen, the thing about ERGs is their use, their being there, and how they're used and how they're there. And if the presidents of the ERGs are still there and they're thriving and they're moving up in the organization, then that's a good tell. But if they're not, and the ERG just does, you know, the Black History Month shit and the MLK Day shit, then again, it is performative. It is not genuine. And therefore, that's not the safest place you could find for yourself. Okay? It's all very telling. If they don't have ERGs at all, child, listen. Or they just started their ERG in 2020. Run. It's not safe. Okay?
Okay.
So, takeaway here is be bold in your interviewing process and ask questions. And when you're interviewing with the hiring manager, make sure you ask them their perspective on psychological safety in the workplace. And what they should say is, I am committed to being a trusted manager. I'm committed to working my hardest as a human to make sure that my team has what they need to feel safe and do their best work. If you don't hear some variation of that, if there's some blah, 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 or, you know, they're like, what is that? Run. Because that manager doesn't care. Any manager of people in this day and age, in the year of our Lord and Beyonce, 2023, and you don't know what psychological safety is, you don't actively work to prevent burnout, regardless of who's on your team, listen, you don't want to work for that person. That person is probably horrible. And we are here to protect our peace as much as we can. Okay? Now, when we get back from the break, we are going to wrap the show up. And we're going to talk about checking the Carfax and what you need to do to find out if the information you've gathered is trusted information, how to verify when we get back from the break. Hey guys, listen, I am working to create content for you. I do this show for you. So I need your help. We have a survey. It is in the show notes. And we need you to fill out that survey so that can help us create content for you and your specific needs. I have had some interesting career so far, and all of my content comes from me and my circle and my friends. I am one person, and I probably personally know about 500 people that I'm drawing my experience from, right? That's my circle. And I know that sounds like a lot. It's not like I talk to these people all the time or every day, but if you take into account, I had 200 some people in my business school class. And there were 200 people in the business school class before. And then there was 200 and some people in after. And it's very easy for me to rack up the number of people that I actually know in real life and talk to or commune with on a regular basis. Not every day, though. You can't talk to 500 people every day. But when I'm working on shows and getting you guys information, I tap into my network to figure out what content should I be bringing. But I realized some of you guys, I don't talk to in my network. And so I don't want y'all left out. So don't be left out. Please, please, please fill out the survey so that we can continue to bring you the dopest, freshest, and most useful content that we can bring to you to help you not just survive, but thrive in your career and at work. So let's get back to the show and wrap it up. All right, guys, welcome back from the break. We're going to wrap it up here. We're going to talk about checking the Carfax. Now, we've talked about, you know, asking the real questions and recognizing red flags. But let's say you've done your due diligence, you feel. The next thing you need to do, though, when you have all that information, now you got to validate it. So here are some of the things you need to do before you take the offer. Number one, you've got to get into the DMs. You got to get in LinkedIn. You got to find the Black people that do work there. And you got to hit them up and be like, hey, I'm considering an opportunity at your company and I would love to have a coffee chat about culture with you because I'm really interested in the role, but I want to understand all what I might be getting into. And that's where we have to be kinfolk to each other, guys. If somebody reaches out to you and they're asking you about your company, please, 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 please be responsive. Please help each other out. We got to help each other because you don't want somebody going through what you're going through now. And you might could save somebody the headache. You know, you trying to leave. I think one of the worst things I experienced was being recruited by a Black person and they were quote unquote senior at the time. And then only for when I get there, they have left. They have left the company. And this has happened several times in my career. And I was like, why you let me come here? Why didn't you just be honest and tell me the real deal? And I understand it's rough, right? Like we all have to look out for ourselves. We got to put our oxygen mask on first. And sometimes part of your job is recruiting more of us. And sometimes you still need to do that exercise, even if you're leaving, because we need to fight to increase the diversity in these spaces. We all need to do it. And so I get it, but dang, you couldn't tell me nothing, Craig. You couldn't tell me nothing. Anyway. So jump in to the LinkedIn DMs and talk to people who've been there and they've left, and then talk to people who are there now. Make sure you just do that due diligence. And then you want to like go to Twitter and look up the company on Twitter and see what people are saying. Cause you know, Black Twitter, we good for roasting some people. And yes, your mama called you Twitter, so I'm gonna call you Twitter. I'm not changing your name. That's just what it is. The only ex I acknowledge is Malcolm. So go on Twitter and see what we're saying, because that could tell you a lot too, especially about tech companies. I feel like there's a lot of chatter about the techies. The other thing to look at is to see how many women are at the top of the organization or how close are they to the top of the organization and how do they act? What is their philosophy? Do you see the women out there being a champion for diversity? If you're not seeing that, that could also give you an indication of, okay, there might be somewhere safer for me to go. And then let's say you take the job, right? You take the job. Well, you got 90 days. So you want to see, am I experiencing more microaggressions than feeling comfortable and feeling welcomed? Do I feel welcomed? Do I feel like I'm being set up for success? Is there proper onboarding? Do I have a computer and a place to work? Does my manager talk to me? Did my manager hire me? And this is something I need people to really pay attention to. If you were hired by a panel and then placed with a manager, or you're hired and then like a month later, you get a new manager, that's not safe. I have yet to see, whether it be in my coaching practice, whether it be my own experience or my friend's experience, whenever the hiring manager didn't pick you, that is a very hard situation. And there may be times where it turns out great, and it just depends on that manager. But there are a lot of times where managers want to pick their own team and they don't want somebody else's pick. And it's shitty. It's so shitty what we do to each other in these situations. But you just have to sit down with that person, go through that work style template. If you're a Patreon, you have access to the work style template. Go through that template with that person and level set, like, work style, how you want to work, how we can partner together, and try to show yourself as a team player and hope for the best. But that's really all you can do in that situation. That's not your fault. It's the company. It's the BS. And if you find yourself in that situation and then all of a sudden this person tries to say that, oh, your work product isn't good, like, they haven't even really seen what you can do. They just want their own team. And instead of just being honest about that, they're being assholes. And for that, I'm so sorry for you. ADHD side note. Again, I stand by this. If you're new in an organization and you're a people manager and your boss, your manager says, you need to fire this person on your team, do it and do it expeditiously. Don't ask no questions. Just do it. They'll be fine. You'll be fine. If your manager says to you, okay, you're new, but I need you to get rid of that person, get rid of that person. It'll be the best thing that you do for yourself. And I know that sounds awful, but that is this game of chess called the workplace. Trust me, no good deed goes unpunished, guys. Most important. All right, so the most important thing I want you to take away from everything is you want to do your best to do your due diligence, but at the end of the day, you have to trust your gut. And if you are not feeling good, if you're feeling uneasy, if you don't feel like this is right, it's not. Trust yourself. Go find the thing that is right for you. Go find the space, the industry, the company. Look for things that feel good in your spirit. The Felicia work doesn't ever feel good in my spirit. I get that. I get it. But we all have to labor to provide for ourselves, right? So you got to figure out how to do that. But find labor that feels good to you. And a lot of times it's finding a space where you feel respected, you feel heard, and you feel like you can do your job without too much friction. You want to reduce the friction. There's always going to be something. It's humans in a workplace. It is what it is. But if you think through the red flags, you do your due diligence, you pay attention to the culture, you can start to figure out which workplaces are safer than others. And then you can plant yourself in that soil and hopefully get watered and grow. All right, guys, I hope this has been helpful. If you need some advice about a particular situation that you're going through at work, please hit me up at trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation with me, the chillest MBA you will ever know. And I promise I will help you strategize and we will work out a game plan to get you through that situation. So let me give y'all an example of something that happened with a coaching client today. Basically, she has a micromanaging coworker that's trying to tell her what to do. and she's not her manager. She's a coworker. She's a peer. And so the peer took a PowerPoint presentation and sent her, here's my suggested edits. And so when my client was like, okay, that's great, but I'm going with what I got. This woman then took the PowerPoint, made the changes and sent it back to her as if to say, no, you're going to change. I was like, whoa, that's a lot. In that situation, if you give somebody some suggestions, then all you need to do is say, hey, these are the suggestions, take it or leave it. And if that person leaves it, you got documentation of I told you so. And you can always have that email where I shared my suggestions and, you know, move on. But no need to like bully your way. That's crazy. And it's micromanaging and it's quite unprofessional. So I basically told my client to do the following. One, don't escalate it. That's not going to be helpful. Two, what you're going to do is you're going to bring your senior leaders along to what's happening and how you're fixing it. So you just want to bring them in the loop, let them know this is just an FYI and you're handling it. What you want to say is, I may need your help in the future, but right now I'm going to really work to resolve this interpersonal conflict. Should be no big deal. You want to downplay it. You want to look like a leader. You want to look solution oriented. Then I told her that she is going to schedule a meeting, send this woman the work style template worksheet, and they are both to fill it out, and that they are supposed to meet and walk through that document and talk to and level set what their work styles are and how they can best work together. And if the woman asks you why, then you need to say, because I see that we are having a difference of impact and intention. Like, I think you have good intentions, but your impact is not matching. So we have to come together and have a better working relationship. And even if she goes, what do you mean? We have a good working relationship. You actually know there's some issues here because you should not be taking my work and making changes to it without my permission. You're not my manager. And you just have to say that. And so then you fill out the worksheet, you do that. Then what you do is you send a recap of that meeting that you have and the solution that you've come up with, how you guys are going to work together and work better together. And you send her a recap. And then you would send your supervisors that you had sent that, hey, FYI, this is happening, but I got an email. You follow up to that email to say, hey, here's what I've done. Here's the progress we made. I think it's all going to be fine in a good place. Just want to keep you guys in the loop. That's it. Don't have to talk about it. Don't have to be about it. And then if she continues that, now you escalate because you've already worked to solve the problem yourself without, you know, making it a thing. And she keeps acting the donkey. And then now, but at least in this process, you have documented not only all the things you did to be a leader and find the solution, but now you also documented her behavior. So these are the action plans that I give to my clients. So if you need some advice like that, like, hey, this is happening. What exactly do I do? This is what I'm good at. And this is what I love helping us get through. Because, you know, the first thing we want to do is run to HR. No, that's not going to help your cause. You have the power to bring solutions and you have the power to drive your narrative in every situation. So let's work together. Let's strategize. The other thing is you can just email me at ask@trillmba.com. Now, I might not break all that down for you like that because that was a paying client, but sometimes there's a quick answer I can shoot off and I can send. If it's not, I always suggest you scheduling time with us to really get the help that you need. So trillmba.com/coaching to schedule time with me to strategize and figure out the plan for action and solution, or ask@trillmba.com. If you have question, concern, listener letters, you love the show, love getting those, appreciate those. Those kind of keep me going, keeps us recording every week, honestly, because this is definitely a labor of love. So, all right, guys, I hope this has been helpful. Please fill out the survey in the show notes. The link is in the show notes. Please, please, please. We need to work on new content for next year. We're about to go into our planning season. So we really want to hear from you guys, and we want to bring you information that is going to be helpful and impactful to you, if not immediately, in the near future of when you listen to the episode. So I love you guys. We all we got. We got this, though. We're going to be all right. And until next time, keep it true. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.